This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition. Lynn and Uma with you. Our next story takes us into Twitter. Our newly minted foreign minister made a little bit of a boo-boo. He kind of sent out a tweet, and it reads...
It reads more like a text than a tweet.
It reads, "There are two countries whose governments I don't like, but I have to visit them, one because of religious matters and one more because of national matters."
So this is where we're at now. Our government officials sent out blind items for people to guess geographically which countries they dislike.
Well,
I'm into
not
it.
Very diplomatically.
No.
Yes. And you know, we've had Saifuddin on the show many, many times. We acknowledge that he's an incredibly smart man, and this is very unlike him. But yes, he messed up and he's deleted that tweet since. I mean, UMNO Rumbau MP Khairi Jamaluddin took him to task over the tweet. He said, "You're the country's top diplomat. Behave like one." And yes, and I think this highlights this interesting transition, of course, that needs to happen between, you know, when you're in opposition and when you're in government, or especially when you're holding the position of foreign minister, for example,
yeah.
And how you need to behave under those circumstances.
Yeah, I think everyone's adjusting to, I suppose, having power and authority hoisted upon them, you know, and then suddenly kind of, with great power.
but of course, with Saifuddin, you would expect otherwise because he has been in government before. And so.
That's true. But I think, I mean, some diplomats have come out to say that it's not so problematic to say that because he didn't name the countries, and by not naming. So former Ambassador Dennis Ignatius, for example, said that basically because the countries weren't named, so it's fine.
Could be anyone.
It could be anyone, except you just look at, you know, I guess his upcoming roster and figure it out.
But also, I mean, you know, I'm sure it may have been a mistweet, which is why it was deleted, unless there was some cunning strategy behind it, unless he wanted, you know, because the Americans do this all the time, right? If they want to send a message to a particular country, they will get someone in power to tweet something or release a throwaway statement that actually reveals or belies how they truly feel.
Yes.
to force the news cycle into doing something about it. And then here we are speculating about what country it might be.
Yes. I don't know that I agree that this is some sort of, you know, large scale cunning social media plan. I think it's more likely that this is just sort of, I mean, it feeds into a larger conversation, I suppose, about how government officials use Twitter.
Yes.
Because it's become a real thing, you know, where people basically use Twitter as a way to make official statements, but also to tweet personal thoughts. And sometimes the two get conflated.
Yes. And you know, we've seen it happen over the last couple of years with Donald Trump. But I guess closer to home, if we take a look at former Prime Minister Najib Razak, that is how he communicates primarily these days. He puts posts up on Twitter. He has long pieces on Facebook explaining his points of view, because obviously, in his mind, he has lost control over all of the media outlets that would carry his statements without question in the past. And a lot of our opposition politicians have started doing that.
In all fairness, I mean, you mentioned Rumbau MP Khairi Jamaluddin there, and I think that perhaps in the last 2 weeks or so of trawling through headlines that involved him,
yeah.
A lot of them came out of his tweets. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that that is his fault or anything. A part of that is also the media, right? Like, if you pick up somebody's tweet and you turn it into a headline, you are the one who's turning it into an official statement.
It's easily a 400-word story.
Yeah.
128-character tweet or 240-character tweet.
It has happened. You know, we can use the links that we've seen, because I'm very sure I can think of at least three stories, I think, in the last few weeks that have kind of stemmed from tweets.
KJ is an interesting character as a politician, because he was one of the early ones to actively engage on Twitter constantly, both in his personal life and his political life, and he's carried on doing so. And in recent days, he's been quite critical, not just of the government, but actually of his own party, and he voices those critiques out on Twitter. So, you know, that's great fodder for the media, right?
And the beauty of having been one of the first is that you have a lot of practice. You've been doing it a long time.
Exactly. So it's a cunning game. See, I told you.
Stop using the word cunning. I don't think that's a fair description.
Okay, you know what? We're going to cross over now to Zahrom Naim, Professor of Media and Communication Studies at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Thank you so much for joining us on our show, Prof. Tell us, how has social media changed the way politicians communicate?
Well, depending on context, in places where social media is widely used, it would seem that more politicians want to emulate people like Trump. But in places or countries where social media is not prevalent, I would say that politicians have little use for them. And let us not forget, there are still many countries where any media, let alone social media, is not available on a wide scale. So it all depends on context, whether social media has changed or not changed. Yeah, you can see it has changed in many ways in the context of the United States when Trump has been using social media in that kind of sense, and he's been criticized, and I think rightly so. So again, it depends again on how widely social media is used in particular contexts.
And speaking of Trump, and perhaps, you know, I guess some of this is thanks to his habit of making official announcements on Twitter, social media has begun to be seen as a means by which politicians can communicate in an official capacity. What's your take on Twitter and Facebook becoming the new press release?
I'm actually old school, I guess. I believe that unless the mainstream media are totally unreliable, I mean the press, broadcasting, television, and so on and so forth, unless the mainstream media are totally unreliable, lacking credibility, and yeah, there are many countries where they are, in Malaysia at one time was such, yeah. Unless it's such, I believe old-style press releases, press conferences, press briefings should be the order of the day, should be the preferred method, yeah. Press briefings, press conferences often enough provide the space, the arena, for politicians to be questioned instantaneously by journalists. You know, it's immediate. They're there. But it somehow doesn't feel or appear that way with tweets and Facebook postings. There often is a time lag between postings and responses. And also, there's a problem of an anonymity. Are those tweets, postings genuine or prepared by others, a team, for example? I'm sure they can be questioned, but who's really responding at the end of the day? Yeah. So that's the kind of instantaneity with press conferences, I feel, right? So that's how I feel about this tweets and Facebook, yeah, as being the official new press releases. I don't think they should be that way.
So we're also seeing the fact that posts on social media are picked up and used as news stories. What are your thoughts on this way of reporting?
Well, I think we must remember that all news stories are social constructions based on social hierarchies. You know, news isn't just things that are gathered in abstraction. They are actually constructed in many ways. So in the case of social media posts, they may indeed be used. That isn't the problem. The problem is how reliable are these posts, which brings us back to the role of journalists to check, to double check, to verify the credibility of such postings, to investigate different sources. It's not the source. It's a old media, social media, new media that really matters. What matters is how credible the source is or how the sources are. And this brings us back to professional journalistic practices. Only lousy excuses for journalists won't double and triple check. Unfortunately, there are many of those these days. There's lazy journalists around, and some would assert that they are an increasing species as well. And social media simply provides them with another avenue to get easy sources, often without the sources being checked, yeah? And hence you get the spread of this, now the sickness called speculative journalism. And often simply it's all bullcrap, badly disguised as news, yes? As breaking news. And equally often it makes you want to break their necks instead, yeah? Okay? Yeah, so it's not where it's coming from, it's how well you research where it's coming from, right? Well, the source itself. I think that's what a good journalist, it's not about source, it's about good journalism.
So does it matter how politicians conduct themselves on social media? Is there real world impact?
It does if they're discussing work-related issues, I feel. I feel it doesn't if the politician concerned is just commenting on personal issues. It's just that politicians, just like others, should know what's work and what's professional and what's personal. as far as impact is concerned, I guess it would depend on what's being communicated.
Should the words of politicians on Twitter be taken as their personal opinions, or by virtue of the official position, should these thoughts always be taken as official statements?
Not necessarily. I would argue it's not necessarily the case. It would depend on what's being said.
Right.
Commenting on a lousy lunch, for example, that a politician had at the Ministry Cafe shouldn't be taken seriously at all, I believe. I guess we just need to chill more. Yeah. Similarly, Saifuddin's statement. More so, if he didn't mention any names, should be seen as his personal dislike. Mm. Yeah. Nobody said that becoming a politician entails one no longer having any feelings, yeah? Any general dislikes or any, you know, likes as well. I mean, we're still human beings, or they are still human beings, yeah? As far as I can recollect, he made a general statement, as far as I can recollect, right, what I read. He made a general statement about two countries that he doesn't like going to, one for personal reasons and one for political reasons and one for religious reasons, I think. He didn't condemn the country's policies. He didn't condemn the country's people. He didn't condemn the country's palaces. And he didn't condemn the country's parliaments. Yeah, it wasn't an official statement. So maybe people should go and see what the MP for Pasir Salat, for example, has to say on many issues before picking on rather innocuous, even if flippant, comments made by others like Saifuddin.
Prof, thank you so much for your analysis. That was Zahram Naim, Professor of Media and Communication Studies at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. And yeah, I guess he raises an interesting point. We often put these individuals on a pedestal, for better or for worse, and I guess we assume that they're not allowed to have any personal opinions. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with Prof's statement on that, because Twitter is a public platform, and it's not like Saifuddin was speaking at a mama to his friends.
I agree with that, but I also think that you are, after all, a person assuming the office. You don't become the office, you know, just because you've taken it upon yourself. I don't think you are now only the minister. You are still a person.
You're still
opinions.
An individual, but yeah. But I suppose then maybe given how the world around you reacts to these things, one needs to be more careful and
calibrate.
Calibrate for Twitter, for Facebook, for Instagram, and so on. Let us know your thoughts. Do you think it matters what Saifuddin posted on Twitter?
Let us know which countries you think they are.
Oh, yes. And you know what you do? You can tweet us about it on at BFM Radio. You're listening to the Evening Edition. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.